creators of the podcast dungeon, you have come across another goddamn horror podcast with Graham Fay, Jonas Barnes, and Ryan Danley.
A proud member of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network.
Welcome, everybody, to yet another goddamn horror podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Ryan Danley, coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon. Graham and Jonas. So normally we have a lot of yammering on the beginning, but should we cut it short today?
Don't need to yammer.
We're going to cut it short today.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm too excited about this.
I am quitting the podcast to now be a ska memer. Like, I have a ska meme account.
Oh, I heard about that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And so now that's all I do is meme ska. And so no more horror, no more punk, no more stand-up.
Very niche, but you're going to be huge, Ryan.
No more stand-up. So. I quit doing stand-up comedy. No more stand-up comedy. No more writing for the hard times. No more all the bullshit I do.
We're going to give you a multi-horn
ska-themed memes. So, Graham, you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah, well, today I'm so excited. We have drag queen, super monster, motivational speaker, spokeswoman for classic American trash, Twitch gamer badass, Emmy-nominated nerd, actress, and winner of season 2 of the greatest show of all time, Dragula, Bitch Puddin'.
What's up?
How are you, Bitch Puddin? Thank you so much for being here.
Before we dive into it, my favorite ska song of all time, because I feel like it's the whole thing now. Like, I've been listening. Y'all talk about ska too much. Yeah. Is the first person who, like, really enveloped me in queerness was, like, oh, because I was, like, I went to scene shows and shit. Like, I was, like, going to shows and all that stuff. And I went to Warped Tour, of course. And they're, like, you don't know Real Big Fish? I was, like, no. Or you don't know ska? So she gave me, like, she burnt a CD. This hardcore lesbian burnt me a CD of all these amazing songs. And it was mostly off of their live album. And to be honest, Kiss Me Deadly cover of Lita Ford's iconic song Real Big Fish is low-key one of my favorite ska songs of all time.
It's a really great song.
The trumpet is the whole thing. Like, it's like, yeah. It's like, yeah, this whole solo. Yeah. Anyway, hi, I won Dragula. I stream on Twitch. Yeah. I'm glitching in from let's see, the 1, 2, 3, this is like the fifth circle of hell. I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm wearing my boyfriend on my shirt. He's the best glory hole in all of America.
That's true. That's a good glory hole.
His mouth is always open.
His face.
I think I've actually ever thought of his face like a glory hole, but I'm probably...
If y'all steal it for porn, know where it came from.
That whole mask is like 3 glory holes, actually.
It's literally... I mean, look at it. Hold on. I have it. Where is it? Well, I had it right here. Maybe it fell down.
We have a place in New York City called Super Funland that has a glory hole themed, like, whack-a-mole thing.
We love a whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
I just had it. I have Michael. Y'all want to see Michael? He's right here.
We do love Michael.
Yeah.
That's a good Michael.
Yeah. That's the good one.
He's glitching in from hell. It's a thing.
Sweet.
That's a thing.
Listen, hell has good Wi-Fi, so
it does it, sure.
So you know, how does, like, so you're from Atlanta, and you grew up in Atlanta?
My parents are military, so I grew up all over, and that's why I have the mouth of a sailor, because my dad was one.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I literally moved around all over, but I like to say I got my start in drag in Savannah, Georgia. I went to Savannah College of Art and Design, which ended up being my thesis. And didn't think I'd be doing drag 10 years later, but here we are. That's kind of wild. Then I moved to Atlanta and came up in the Atlanta drag scene. I really got my, like, education on, like, drag and, like, how to be an entertainer from Atlanta. So I always, like, claim Atlanta as home when people are referring to bitch, because it's, like, literally where I became, like, a beast.
Sure. And Atlanta is like one of the top drag destinations, right? Like, for drag.
Yeah, especially back in the day. Like, if you were a traveling entertainer, which now, like, thanks to shows like Dragula and RuPaul's Drag Race, like, drag is elevated to a point where you can, like, really travel. But before then, you had to win pageants to travel on that level. And Atlanta, it would be like a thing. Oh, that bitch is from Atlanta. Oof, I got to try today. You know what I mean? It was like a thing. Yeah. very and, much a thing.
And that's probably like it's got to be like, you know, like Jonas and I both came up with stand-ups, you know, which is hard. You know what I mean? And
I still want to do stand-up. It's one thing I want to do.
I mean, you would probably do. It's so great. I literally just did stand-up at a drag show in the Portland area last week. And I work so less hard, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, that was actually like one of my opening jokes. It's like, hey, like, how embarrassing now that I'm walking on stage, you know what I mean? And it's just like, and like, I call myself an artist, but like, I wrote some funny quips down, and y'all like just like put the real work in, you know what I mean? And so you probably actually enjoy it, because it's like, it'd be a night off for you, you know what I mean? Like, and then when you do bad at it, you just say, oh fuck it, the crowd sucked, and then you just go home and cry, you know what I mean? So it's so most of us are doing that anyways. So
one of the last comedy shows I did in Portland before I moved to New York was actually at CC Slaughter's. R.I.P. like it was RIP, it was that. You know, and that was, I remember that show because it was my friend Belinda Carroll booked it, and it was both a comedy and drag show. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, because I'd done one for her at another venue before. But I was like, fucking CC Slaughter's? Yeah, I'm definitely doing that show. And it was the same thing. Like, as soon as I saw the drag performers there, I was like, dude, I'm putting in light work. It's like, holy shit. It was so good, though. It was such good energy and everything. Easily one of my favorite shows I ever did in Portland.
Bears. We love CC Slaughter's, RIP.
Yeah.
But came up in Atlanta. I can only imagine in the same circuit, but it was very like hazing. Could think about if you were in the situation, like, you know, like obviously, you know, you have fraternities and sororities. If you combine the energy of both of those, it's essentially a drag dressing room.
Right.
So like after this industry, I feel like it can do anything and I'd be like totally fine.
Yeah,
especially coming up in the South and Atlanta, like Dragula was a cakewalk for me, because I just was like, people were coming at me and I'm like, this is another Friday in the dressing room for me. This is fine.
Yeah, we'll jump more into Dragula later, but like, I will say that is probably the biggest takeaway from the show, is just like, besides all the amazing work you do and all that, but like, ooh, y'all are really hard on each other, and it's and nothing I've ever, and that's what I was gonna say, like, we came up through comedy, which is hard and can be brutal and can have honesty, and people tell you you're not good and that you work with and respect and stuff, like, all of that, but it's nothing compared to like the kind of like onslaught of how do you go into that with that, or is that just something you learn?
I went in to have fun.
Right.
But people had other plans, and I just was like, I'm going to kill y'all with kindness. And
it
worked out.
I mean, particularly on Dragula, you are consistently like above it all. And it's actually kind of like a breath of fresh air in the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like,
I think
we should just get into this.
I think to my dad's upbringing and moving me around the country, and thus being in multiple schools. I was like in three different schools eighth grade year, so bullying was something I've always like came up with. So when I was in that situation, of course, like, this is the last situation I thought I'd be bullied. I'm an alternative drag performer, but now I'm in a show where it's just all alternative drag performers, and honestly, it's like probably one of the more situations where I was most bullied. And I felt like I went through all of those situations of being bullied, called a faggot, beat in front of a teacher, all those things that I went through literally was like prepping me for that moment on how to handle that situation. And how I always handled bullying was like, if you show that it bothers you, they're winning. Right. So I just was like, cool, slay.
Right.
You played it so well. I'm just going to go real quick. I got into drag years ago. I went to a friend's birthday party and at a bar, and she was playing one of the seasons of Dragula, and I was like, this is incredible. What, like, why have I been missing that? I've always sort of been into like cross dressing and stuff, and like watched Bosom Buddies growing up, but like this fucking that's probably really old reference. Oh, cool. Jesus.
Graham's actually 73.
The next year What's the up, next Dad? Year, her birthday party again, and a friend, and he was like, have you seen Dragula? And I was like, no, I haven't even heard of it. He was like, you have to check it out. And my wife and I went home that night and looked it up, and we saw your season first.
Oh.
And it completely blew me away. I have not even gone back to Drag Race because it Dragula encaptured everything that I loved about drag and then horror, which is my other fucking love, you know, right. Like to have those two things brought together and to watch you get just pummeled at the beginning and then play it so well. And, so and when you did the Monsters of Rock, the super Monsters of Rock, that shit was so fucking incredible. And I was like, this is the greatest drag queen I've ever seen. Been like my favorite since. Such a huge fan. And
I was such a drill sergeant during that challenge. I was like, you're gonna I was like, I am not going home on a performance based challenge. There's one thing I can do is perform, and we're gonna fucking do it. So, yeah,
you know, and it was great. And the whole.
And furthermore, for the record, I got the bucket. Everybody else was like, why do you have the bucket? And you're like, and I'm like, no, she's like drowned. She's come out of the well. You know what I mean? Like, it was obvious. Like,
well, the fucked up thing about that challenge was there was a monologue portion. We were supposed to give a monologue, and the monologue was supposed to explain why our town became a ghost town and why we're haunting it. And when they cut that, I was like, well, fuck, I make no sense. And the thing was, they're like, ooh, the horses were scouring in fear. They were. They just cut to a footage of a horse just chewing on something. And it's just like, I was like, oh, that was probably the worst day of my life if I had to pick.
that's a low bar.
Yeah, that was the worst day. That day was a lot. But yeah, it just. Live, laugh, live. But I'm glad you got, you know, I was drowning.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was like, I don't know, like the bucket and the drown. Anyways.
Why I was haunting the town, though, was because I was of nobility. And they, my family owned the water tower. And when I inherited it, I was using it. I wasn't giving it to the people. I was just like bathing people's husbands and having sex with them and all that shit. And then... they got mad and they drowned me in the water tower, which poisoned the water supply because my body was rotting. And then the town became a ghost town. That more romantically in character, I would have given that monologue. But yeah.
That's a deep cut, though.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, if I didn't have that, I'm like, well. And my outfit was made by Anthony Kenny, House of Kenny. It's one of his original pieces. I was so broke. I had to borrow stuff. And Anthony Kenny, like, designs, like, for, like, Violet Chachki, Dita Von Teese. He did Christina Aguilera. He's a very popular designer. He's, like, a really cool fag from Atlanta, Georgia. And that was one of his original pieces, and it fit the time period. I was like, it's a ghost town thing. Would I personally wear that outfit? No. But the problem was the outfit was wool. So when you wet wool, it doesn't look wet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
right.
So I'm soaked. I covered my body in water. You can't tell. I'm soaked. And then there's like a good 30-degree drop. So now it's like 70. Now all of a sudden it's like 100 degrees outside. Now all of a sudden it's like 50 degrees outside. And I am wet. It was not a fun day.
No, that's
it sounds awful.
And then all of that on top of like how they talk to you afterwards. The other thing that I'll point out that I loved on it is in all of the Dragula I've watched, my favorite moment in all of it. Is when Abora is like spilling to you and you are painting your arms. It is probably one of my greatest moments in like television history because like it is like the juxtaposition. You're like, yep, and you're like painting your, and then she is just like blah, and it's just gorgeous. I just want to say
chef's kiss. Asshole, they just didn't give us much time, and I was like, are you gonna give me more time to paint after this? They go, no. And I was like, well, I'm gonna be painting my body during this conversation.
I mean, you didn't come across as an asshole, but like it was just it was hilarious. I mean, I don't want to say it was hilarious. It was just like it was just amazing. Like you're just like yeah, and you're just like painting, and I'm like, this is the best TV ever.
I'm not going home. I'm gonna paint my body green and call it a day.
Yeah. No. It's like you can tell me all your things that you need to tell me, but I'm gonna fucking go home with this. All right. Oh, yeah.
And seriously, like halfway through the season, I think my wife and I were like, it's a lock. It's got to be bitch. It's like, she's just amazing.
My favorite. And
yeah, it was the performance.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, your performances across the board were always like spot on.
Thank you. Thank you. I can't do SFX super great like Victoria Elizabeth Black, but I can act. And I'm glad you liked the performance.
No, absolutely. And you always looked really cool. I really love the eyes, the alien eyes.
Yeah.
That shit looked fucking dope and different than anything else that had come both seasons before. It was rad. Yeah. So, I think that kind of waitress. Wow.
Yeah, the waitress is great too. The alien waitress.
It's funny, I got that quip where she goes, "What are we celebrating tonight?" Because my friend, who's a brilliant actress, her name is Candace Kitchens, and she lives in Atlanta. She just got married. But she was like, I was going to leave for Dragula, and I was having like a little lunch with her before leaving, and she just got a new job as a waitress and bitched about it. And she just kept talking about like, what are we celebrating tonight? Wow, our third birthday. Like, just stupid shit. I thought that was just so funny. So I was like, I'm literally going to give the script that she gave for her.
That's fantastic.
I love it.
That's like such a beautiful like piece of satire. Like, I'm gonna take the
mundane shit we always do and turning into it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I did with like the janitor too. Like, I love picking things that are like kind of mundane in life and just exemplifying it, like with my drag. I think that's kind of fun.
The janitor was so filthy.
Thank you.
Oh,
I wasn't invited to John Waters' opening at the Academy Museum, and I'm pissed because I could have been there. I'm gonna still go and go as the janitor and get me footage and the thing as the janitor, because I was like,
absolutely,
you're not gonna bite my filthy ass there. It's fine. It's okay. You have these glamour queens that don't know how to do filth up there. It's fine.
Sure. Yeah, you're like, I got this on lock. But you know, if you want to take second place,
it's fine, go
for it. You also got to like, I mean, it's got to be kind of fun to work with the Boulets, and I mean, Peaches Christ, a friend of the show, we've had her on, and she's
I did Drag Me to Dinner with her on Hulu.
It's so good.
Meatball, yeah. And then the late Heclina. It was like actually Heclina's last like film gig, so it's kind of really special.
Oh, sure. Wow.
We're like the last episode, but it was really fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Peaches.
I was gonna bring up Drag Me to Dinner. It's so funny, but go ahead.
But I mean, it's got to be like, it's kind of cool to like bump, like, I mean I'm sure that you meet all these people anyways in your line of in your deal, but like but the show is like a regular like who's who in drag, so that's got to be kind of fun. How's the after the afterwards tour and all of that kind of?
Well, I was on, I would say, the Black Print season, if I'm being, our Blood Print season, I guess, if I'm being on brand. Season one was shot very like punk as fuck. And a lot of us signed up for it because we saw like queers unapologetically being themselves on TV. And we were like, oh, I want to be a part of this party for sure.
Right.
So all of us signed up for season two, not knowing there was going to be a tour, not knowing like if the budget was going to change. We signed up for what season one was like. So after our season, I feel like it kind of really launched the platform into a new direction. And like, I think it's kind of grown into its own beast from this point on. So like for me, I knew that Dragula needed a mouthpiece. Vander Von Odd, who's an exceptional artist, all of her work should be hung in the Louvre. It's like every time you like watch one of her performances, it feels like you're watching like a morbid or like a macabre, or like she transforms you into like a fantasy. And like it's like this complete, like it's a complete fair, like a cryptic, horrible fairy tale she's like sharing with you with each character she presents. That's not what I give, obviously, right? But I knew, like, after season one, that was their winner. So I was like, if this is one end of the bookshelf, if they're looking for season two to expand the brand and see what it is, I knew they needed a mouthpiece, being like, how does it feel to win Dragula? And hand the person the microphone. Right. So I was kind of like a foot soldier in a lot of the sense where, like, a lot of the venues that would book me, it was because, like, their queens would be watching it, like the queens that are like, you know, showrunners, and be like, I really want to bring bitch, I really want to bring X, Y, and Z out for shows. And I'd be booked in a venue and I would have to do so great and be nice to the like the show director. So he would go then watch the show and then book the rest of the cast. So I kind of had that job where like I would go to a venue and I would like prove the fact that Dragula is great. And if they hadn't heard about it, they're obsessed with it by the time they left. And now they're like booking people out. So that's kind of what I signed up for. I didn't necessarily knew I was signing up for that, but I knew that like they needed a mouthpiece and the brand was expanding. So that's kind of like what my role was. So touring was amazing. I got to go. I was like the first one in the UK. I did that a couple times. I've awesome. Just highlighted like a third UK tour, which was awesome. Yeah, so I've had a pleasure of like dreams coming true where I've gotten to like tour across the country and internationally, and it's been really great.
Yeah, that's what a cool opportunity too. And you know what I mean? And spreading the brand is cool because it's like I don't know if it's a unique thing, but like the whole idea of the show and everything is really cool, particularly like now with like the energy and the temperature about drag and all that sort of stuff. Like it's so unapologetically like, you know, go fuck yourself. And like, and it, exactly. And it's like, and it's such a strong representation of that. Like I think it's cool because it shows drag people like doing their drag stuff and da da da, but also there's like this whole like I don't know if I want to fuck with anybody on the show, you know what right. I mean, like I don't want to like, you know, and like I don't like this is like clearly like not a sensitive what anybody would put the narrative in people's minds, you know what I mean, like so it's kind of badass. And I mean and the Boulets in general are just forces, so it's a cool thing to be spreading out there.
Yeah, that's really nice. Well, and also, I think for those who are listening, just to let you know, all horror is queer. Bram Stoker's Dracula was written by a queer person. Frankenstein was written by a queer person. Scream was written by a queer person. Hellraiser, pretty much everything to do with horror is queer. Made by Absolutely. Queer people. So, because our life is a living hell, so why not comment on it and make it fabulous? So, you're welcome.
Oh, fully agree. Yep. Fully agree. I also think Dragula, you can see the work you put into, like the jumps that the show made in the seasons mm-hmm. after you. Like, so clearly that was from you in between season 2 and 3, putting in some work, you know?
I mean, I would like, say like it was and the I show itself.
A lot
itself,
of it has
like,
to do with the show Boulet itself. Brothers had a lot, yeah. but right. But like, you were clearly out there like on the ground.
Well, look at our season. I feel like, no, I would say like the whole season in general just had some magic to it. Literally, like,
it really did.
Now there's three winners from one season, because I won my this season initially, season 2. Dali won season 4, and then Victoria just won Resurrection. So like, there was like a bunch of talent on that season. Abora is an iconic person, and Erica. That season's full of icons. It really is.
For sure.
I did not take full credit in like putting Dragula where it is now.
No, I would
not take that credit. But I just said like, you know, when I got when I won, I realized like there was a lot of work to do and I was happy to do it.
I'd say you were part of the catalyst.
Oh,
you had something to do with it.
I appreciate that.
I just real quick, prior to Dragula, did you think about taking horror and putting that in with your drag performances at all, like prior?
I have plenty of performances before Dragula. Like one of my first performance, actually the catalyst of me getting fired from that show that me and Abora are talking about, I was performing the song Dragula by Rob Zombie being Nancy from The Craft, and I got blood on the stage and I didn't clean it up fast enough and the show director got mad. And that was like one of my first performances that I ever did in drag. So like, I've always tampered with, you know, horror in general. I mean, I'm more of a video game person, but like, you know, I love horror video games. My drag, what I try to do is like, its through line is nostalgia, regardless if it's that classic alien, you know, that classic horror final girl that has her ass grabbed, the janitor that you were creeped out in high school that you probably could have been on Goosebumps, you know, whatever. That whole vibe is like literally my pizza sucking dick, like things that bring you joy, right? Right.
Love that jump.
Right. It's beautiful. So yeah, like, you know, for that to be, horror has always been in on that. But I also go with, when I'm booked for something, like let's just say I'm booked with five Dragula people, I'm going to probably go more of the camp route because I don't want the show to have the same energy.
Right.
And that's what I do when I book shows. Right. I host a show at Precinct ETLA. We will be taking it on tour soon, which I'm really excited about. It's called Bitchin'. It's the second Friday of every month. But when I book that cast, I'll always see like what space on the wall is missing and try to cover that space because I think it makes for an overall better show. So it's kind of like, you know, for instance, episode three, I kind of realized based on rehearsals that no one was going to go glam rock. And I was like, oh, I'm going to do that because that's not being done. And it ended up me winning that episode. So I just like, you know, you just look where the hole in the wall is and fill it. So that's what I like to do with my drag too, because I don't like doing the same thing every time I get really bored.
Sure. Well, sure.
For sure. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's, and like, good show. If you put on comedy shows, you can't put all the same you know what I mean?
You gotta give something different. So
people get bored. Bored by, like, if you have like all filthy comics, it's all gonna be like, you know what I mean? By the end, they're gonna be like, oh, it's another.
How many foreskin jokes can you make?
Exactly. How much?
A lot. You can make a lot.
How much cum can these people eat? Right. You know what I mean?
Also a lot, Ryan.
Well, it's funny that you say, and no, it makes sense. I think it's great. But like, if you say you're on a show with like four other Dragula contestants, you're going to go for something a little different. Yeah. I think that's sort of what drew me to Dragula, is that everybody was so unique.
Yeah.
As opposed to Drag Race and stuff, mm-hmm. which I love, but like as soon as I found Dragula, I was like, oh, I don't need anything else. Yeah. This is fucking perfect. This
melts together both of the things.
Why have Coke when you can have Diet Coke? You know what I mean? Right. The cancer just tastes better. You know what I mean?
It's aspartame.
Different cancer. So, and you do Twitch too, and how's that all go? Like, what do you do on there?
Well, I originally was starting, like, when I won Dragula, I won, like, a lump sum of $10,000, which is mm-hmm. not a huge amount. Now you win $100,000, so it's, like, kind of crazy how much they win now. But right. I won 10, and I actually was in the process of moving. I was living about Skid Row on Meatball's couch, because I just was broke and waiting to see if I won, to see if I could stay in LA or if I had to move. And in the middle of the night, after I got the crown in check, all my equipment was stolen. Like, someone broke into the apartment and stole, like, my computer, my camera, my hard drives from college, like, all this, like, work, and stole everything. So originally, my plan was to stream on Twitch, like, immediately, because I'm a huge gamer. I was like, ooh, I have this coin. I can buy, like, a couple pieces of equipment and make it happen. So over those years of, like, you know, let's just say between then and the pandemic, mm-hmm. I was starting to, like, you know, buy equipment here and there and just kind of rebuild. Because I just essentially got an apartment for me and my friend who helped me through the competition. And then I just was like, well, there's the 10K, you know, first and last month's rent for two people in LA. That's 10K right there. So, you know, I was like, well, I can't, you know, whatever. So originally with Twitch, I wanted to start earlier, but, the pandemic happened and I was just starting to stream because I found out I needed shoulder surgery. I tore my shoulder out of socket and popped it back in place within 6 seconds, like probably the first year of winning Dragula. And then there was like a long lull before season three. So like I had to constantly tour on a fucked up shoulder. It was the whole thing. So when I found out I needed shoulder surgery, I was like, oh, we got to go digital because mama can't be out here cartwheeling and doing all these things. So, around that time, I was gearing up for like a Final Fantasy VII launch party, and I got the call that it was canceled because, you know, COVID was becoming a thing. And I was like pissed as hell because I spent forever on the flyer. It was like a dream gig, right? I'm launching Final Fantasy VII at a drag. Like, that's fucking cool, right? Like, that's, if you're a nerd, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, fuck, man. I was just like pissed and cussing, you know, with my drag mom in the living room. And, I said, what are we going to do now? Digital drag. And then my friend, Meg Chase, came out and she was like, that sounds like a great idea. So I then put online, like, hey, if you guys want to do this digital show. I didn't know how the fuck we were going to do it. This came together in like 5 days. And I listed the cast. The cast was really gaggy. It had Drag Race winners, Dragula winners. You know, like, I had all three Dragula winners at that point. I had Vander, me, and Landon, which I thought was really important to kind of show the franchise in that light. And, like, you know, I launched the cast. And the next day we were in Paper Magazine, RIP. And then Billboard picked it up. And then, like, all of a sudden, then, like, you know, we're on the front page of Twitch with, like, 10,000 live people watching this drag show in the middle of the pandemic. And was extra wild because earlier in the day, like, LA News, like, KTLA Live, was like, can we interview you? And it was right before the, like, the mayor of the city was talking to people, talking about how, like, everything is closed down. The airport is shut down. Stay inside. You could die. And now we cut to a drag queen, bitch, putting to a digital drag show. And it cuts me in a blonde wig. And I'm like, puppies are still being born. It's going to be okay. Like, you know. And then, like, you know, I do this show and it's, like, successful. And then we, like, you know, did it probably for about 7 months consistently every Friday. It was a whole new batch of people. And, like, Rolling Stone wrote about it. I was in Wall Street Journal. And, like, it was so funny about Wall Street Journal was, like, they were like, so, Steven, I was like, well, actually, my name's Bitch Pudding. And they're like, we're the Wall Street Journal. And I was like, you're so right. And it just kind of, like, snowballed from there. And I got to stream many things. I'm now, like, one of the faces of TwitchCon. I just had my first billboard on the Vegas Strip, which I think is kind of a cool thing. So it's like me with a big old wig saying, come on, little bitches. But it's so funny. Vegas would not approve Bitch Pudding on the billboard because it was too risque, I guess.
Get the fuck out of here.
Bee Pudding? So
it's Bee Pudding for that reason.
Wow. Yeah.
And Twitch was like, what the hell? This is so stupid. Is it like, it's her tag? It's like a thing. And they're like, no. So it's Bee Pudding. And then it's so funny because I just, like, last year did Birmingham, Alabama Pride. Whatever, it's a gig, right? Sure. And I'm on the fucking main drag in the Bible Belt with my big old face on a billboard saying Bitch Pudding. So I just thought it was so funny that Vegas had an issue with it.
You know, I've done cocaine out of somebody's butt in Vegas. And, like,
like, the hooker, the sex work cards are fine, but Bitch right, Pudding exactly. is not. Sex work is work.
Right. Yeah, of course.
So, like, so that whole thing happened. But yeah, so, like, now I'm going to be at TwitchCon, which is October 20th through 22nd. So it's going to be really fun. And yeah, I love Twitch. I think it's a cool platform. For those unfamiliar with it, it's like basically a live. What YouTube is to pre-recorded content. Twitch is to live content. So Twitch is all live. Yeah. There's clips and stuff that you come from the streams, but, like, you can watch people cook. You can watch people do a talk show. Podcasts are a huge thing on there. But also, it's also known for huge video game content. I do like horror games. I mostly stream Street Fighter because I love beating people up. yeah, so it's just like a cool little environment. A lot of Dragula people are on there. We have Eva Destruction, Erica Clash, Yovska, Madeline Hatter streams like a drag show on there called Banshee. It's like a cool little community. And that kind of, like, whole drag surgence exploded because of, like, the digital drag show. So yeah, that's kind of like a history of Twitch. Yeah.
Do you have a specific favorite horror game that you like to do on Twitch?
Of all time? If I had a big horror game of all time. Oof.
I know, I'm putting you on the spot.
I do like Parasite Eve, but that's a deep cut.
Dude, Parasite Eve is great.
But I will say my favorite horror moment.
Listen,
hold on,
real quick. Parasite Eve. I have to say this because it's gonna be a hot take and some nerds are gonna get real fucking pissed.
Let them be mad.
Parasite Eve is better than Final Fantasy. As a game,
which Final next Fantasy? To it.
Well, okay, so Parasite Eve came out right around the same time as Final Fantasy VII, and Final Fantasy VII is like the juggernaut of the Final Fantasies. So I'm not going to say that, but I am going to say prior to Final Fantasy VII, Parasite Eve is a phenomenal game, it has one of the hardest finales of all time.
It's difficult and it's evil. It's fun. My favorite horror moment in a game is actually not technically from a horror game, but my favorite game of all time is Metal Gear Solid 1 on the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. And I will say the scene where you meet Ninja, like, he's like cutting people up and he's like a cyborg ninja and you just walk down this hallway of, like, blood and, like, cut up bodies and you're like, I just thought I was on an espionage mission. Like, why is this shit happening? And then you got Psycho Mantis, who's in like this BDSM gear, and he's like reading your controller. It just, it was like a whole mind fuck of a game. It was great.
I have one horror game nerd question for you. Yes. Did you ever fuck with Fear Effect?
Fear Effect is cute.
Yeah.
My brother loved it's that
adorable.
Game.
It's an adorable
horror. It's really cute. Yeah. It's the one with the like kind of like the Grudge, right? Like it's a shooter, but there's a Grudge girly around, right?
Kinda, yeah. And it's like it's got kind of like the controls of a Resident Evil, but it's got like cel-shaded characters with like really fucked up, like almost artistic, like drawn up backgrounds that you walk through. And yeah, it's very, very, very horrific as it goes farther into the game.
That's
but
cool,
it's so, one of those games that I think a lot of people forget about when it comes to those horror RPGs.
I agree.
The only game I've ever played online is Friday the 13th, the game. And I played that.
It's so sad what happened to that game.
Yeah, it really is.
It's do y'all know what happened?
Yeah.
That game was...
Yeah. I mean, we deal with, you know, we end up talking to people kind of adjacent to that on this, like, you know, because all that Friday the 13th content is still in limbo. You know what I mean? Like, so it's still.
I know something in the works. So like stuff is coming that deals with Friday the 13th. I can't talk about it, but I know something is coming. And it's exciting. if it comes into fruition, we'll see. You know, that franchise is a little cursed. I will say the game, same developers, if you'd like that game, is developing, I believe, is the Killer Clowns from Outer Space game.
Oh, yes.
So, and that looks really fucking cool. So, yeah, it's like Dead by Daylight, but there's like, you can play four killers and you're like, I'm excited about Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
That seems fun.
And have you played the Leatherface? There's a Leatherface game, right?
It's called Texas Chainsaw. That one's really fun. I like that too. It's a little not balanced at the moment, but like you don't play those games for the balance,
right? No. Whenever I was playing Friday the 13th, like people would be complaining about it, and I would be like, I don't know, like I'm just trying to put the motor on the
boat. I'm just trying to dance in front of Jason and get my, you know, have him cut me open, you know
what I mean? Right, like, exactly. I'm living out my Jason fantasy here, and like, you know, I'm teabagging him and all that. And it was a great game while it lasted. I tried to put it on not too long ago, and boy, is it
god, I just want to be killed while being teabagged. Is that too much to ask? You know
that's a fantastic life.
They somebody leaked the Grendel map on I believe it was on Steam, but somebody uploaded the Grendel and it didn't last long. I think it only lasted like a month before they had to take it down. But yo, that map would have been amazing in the game. Like, because it was buggy and glitchy, but
they were going to do awesome. Jason in space. They were going to do that map too. Like, they were planning to do like the whole thing, which is going to be cool as fuck. So
yeah, and then like, and with seeing the leak that they did on Steam, like they had Uber Jason walking around hunting people, and I was like, oh fuck, we could have had such a fun one. It would have been such a fun map.
I don't play enough video games to get. I didn't have a video game system as a kid, and my dad wouldn't buy me one. And then I would go to my friend's house, and they were really good at shit. And they would be like, "Okay, jump Mario here and go down this pipe," and then I would die. And then they would be like, "What the fuck are you doing
at this game?"
And then I turned into like almost this like trauma, you know what I mean? Of like not having what my friends had, and like
that's fucked up. They're not good friends. I hate that.
Yeah. They were all dicks about it. I mean, like every single one of them was a dick about it. You know what I mean? It's like, I just wanted to have fun. You know what I mean? Like I played like Tony Hawk Pro Skater, like I never liked to follow like the, I just want to like jump off shit and like, you know, do McTwists and shit like that. And like, but they were, you know, but everybody, you know, it's like video games are supposed to be fun, right? Like, isn't that the, anyways, but. You know.
I beat my friend once and he punched me in the dick.
Wow.
Rude.
That's just too much.
Okay, but here's the question though: which game was it over? Because that
Bloody
does
Roar.
Make a difference. Okay,
Roar,
you know what? Yeah, he's a dick. He's a dick.
That's fine. By the way, that franchise should come back. If you don't know that franchise, it's a fighting game where you're like these cool people, and then you transform into like an animal, and it's like really bloody, and it's really cool. I wish they brought that back.
So, what's your favorite Street Fighter? out of all of them since you're a Street
Fighter fan?
I'm
really liking six. They just dropped a new character, Aki. I got flown up to play her like literally this past Thursday, like right before my birthday. And she is like psycho mom. Like she literally has poison and she's like fucking like freaking out over the fact you're being poisoned. And she's like literally like, if you're into psycho mommies, she's a queen for you. And she's fucking fierce. I like six a lot. My favorite, the one I played the most, was four. Favorite fighting game of all time, other than the Bloody Roar franchise, is probably Capcom vs. SNK2, just because it kind of incorporates like both like IPs and it's really fun. But yeah, I played most of four. I played four competitively, and I'm trying to play six competitively, but you know, touring and stuff be wild.
Sure.
Damn life getting in the way of other
damn parts. Life. Oh, damn God. Money.
Money. Fucking the waste of time.
Capitalism.
By the way, just as a little horror wave in here thing to the video game thing, the new Mortal Kombat game, the fatalities that they have pulled off in this new Mortal Kombat game,
they're good.
They fucking outdid themselves, and I was pretty shocked, like, because they've gone gnarly before. But
still think the best one of all time is to be from 10, I think, when they introduced Cassie Cage, who's the daughter of Johnny Cage and Sonya Blade, and she like. She punches your jaw off and then she gets a selfie with you and posts it to the combat book. And then it's just a thread being like, nice. Oh shit. Like, you know, she's like, oh, she has like the live comments of like people commenting on the picture. And I was like, that one is like, as a millennial, I was like, ooh, this is the tea.
That one was pretty solid. The tea. Yeah. I think it was either Sonya or Cassie. I can't remember, but they did the ball kick of death, where she just runs up to you and kicks you straight in the dick and your spine shoots out the top of your head. That was pretty solid. That was a good one.
So were you a horror movie fan growing up?
I was. One of the first movies I ever watched was Carrie, because my mom was like, this is like my favorite horror movie. You need to know it. And I was like, okay. And then my mom would always talk about how she saw Halloween in theaters and how like she heard from a friend that it was good. And so she like convinced like a friend's mom to drop her off with her friends. So like I would always watch horror movies with my mom. That and like
that's awesome.
That and Lifetime original movies. So you know, I was getting the best of both worlds right there.
Oddly,
I was always looking for the killer. You know what I mean? Like the ex-husband, Jason. It didn't matter. You know what I mean? It was just whatever.
Oddly, I think that was a direct path to what you're doing now.
You know what I mean?
Like that.
So, I agree.
What kind of horror are you into? Like you.
If I had to pick like my favorite horror movies, Chopping Mall's up there.
Oh, yes.
Nice.
God, I want to suck the dick of the guy who goes to get the cigarettes so bad. I know he probably is a Republican, but I don't give a fuck. Right. I'm just like, let me suck the dick.
Suck the conservative right
like,
out.
Like, it's fine. No, it's not. But whatever. I love that one. I love the Underworld franchise. I don't think it gets enough love. How sickening it is.
Yeah.
I do like the horrible Resident Evil movies because they're basically Die Hard with a woman as a star. It's sure. Fuck yeah. Silence of the Lambs is one of my favorite movies of all time. Obvious reasons.
Yep.
I've had to put the lotion on the skin unless I get the hose again. also some of my favorites. Oh, Zombie Strippers.
Great movie.
So good.
It's a deep cut too. So
it doesn't age well. I will say that there's some parts where I've watched it recently and was like, this is not great. But damn it. I mean,
right.
You have zombie Jenna Jameson in her peak hotness fighting other zombie hooker. Like, it's just, if you're gay, it's like, it's drag. It's fucking drag. It's drag. And then it plays, it's so bad. It's great. And then I love the Kill List. Kill List is awesome. Yeah. If you've ever seen it, I love that movie so much. The last 10 fantastic. Minutes, it's like the whole time you're like, what the fuck? And the last 10 minutes, you're like, shit. Like, it's good.
You're not going to believe this, but that is actually one of my recommendations for today. Because it's
so good.
Yeah, because it's on Shudder right now. And it's,
oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, please watch it.
Or wait, or no, or it's actually, so sorry, or is it on? No, it's on Shudder. Yeah, it's
on Shudder. Yeah,
it's on Shudder. And it is like, It is so incredibly gory and brutal, and like when he's hitting his hand with the it's not a spoiler for anybody who hasn't seen it, but like when he's hitting that guy's hand with the hammer, like that is like I don't know how they even did all of those like that, like it almost like there was a point where I was like, am I watching something okay? You know what I mean? Like they, yeah, right. Like because like when he's beating the guy with the hammer, like it looks so.
It's a moment.
Yeah, it's a moment, and yeah, no, Kill List is fucking fantastic.
That's I also like You're Next. I actually got
that's one of my favorites of all time.
I got to be in a short film with AJ Bowen, and I got to kill him, which was really fun.
Oh shit!
So, nice. Yeah. Yeah, it was really really cool.
You could not be December. In better company on this yeah. show.
Oh, based yeah. off of Your just Next that list absolutely. Alone.
Like, Your Next is yeah. so good. I just love that movie. It's great. And then I would say Vander Von Odd's favorite film is Martyrs. Have you mm-hmm. seen Martyrs? Oh, not yeah. the American one. Yeah, yeah, I'm yeah, talking yeah, about yeah, yeah. the other one. If you want yeah. a feel-good movie of the year, put that one on, honey. I promise you.
I've consistently told people, like, when my friends reach out to me and say, give me a movie that's going to fuck me up, and I always ask them, like, do you want your day fucked up, your week fucked up, your month fucked up? Because those are three different movies. and I'm like, if they say week, I'm like, Martyrs, you're going to feel nasty for at least a week. Like,
yeah. You know,
but you're going to love it. Like, but you're going to feel a little dirty. Like,
it's a whole thing. It's a rabbit hole that keeps going, and then it goes beyond where you think it's going to stop. That's how I would describe that. Then I would say most recently, Evil Dead Rises, I thought was perfect.
Yeah,
I thought it was perfect.
Fucking
I laughed
great.
My ass off the entire time. Mm-hmm. I love how there was a trans character, and the whole thing wasn't about them being trans. It was just like, or a person. Exactly. I was like, that's all we need. I don't need it to be like, oh, I'm trans and I'm stuff. No, they're just a human being.
Right.
Leave them alone. You know what I mean? Like,
totally.
And they killed him. I was like, yes, kill the trans. Well, I was like, fucking do it. You know what I mean? Like, don't be scared. Don't, like, yo, you're a person and they die just like every other bitch in the fucking movie because it's Evil Dead. Everyone dies. So, like, literally. Yeah,
yeah. That movie was amazing. The movie should have been taglined, fuck them kids.
This is funny. I just looked this up. The director of Kill List, that was his first movie or one of the first? His newest movie, you know what it was?
No.
Meg 2, The Trench.
Get the fuck out of here.
I just saw that. Are you kidding me?
It's honestly, the same director. That's insane to me.
They made it more of like, you know how like... they made it more like Resident Evil, where like the next one gets like way more wilder and it's more action and not horror based. That's right. What this was. And like, it was campy. I could see it being smart marketing wise, because like half of it was developed in China and the other half was developed. And then it had like, it was fun. Like if I was a teenage kid going to the movies, I think it would be a fun movie to see. Would it be like my favorite of all time? No, but. So.
I am so there with you on that like opinion of things. Like sometimes you just have to like meet it where it's at and be like, yeah, you know, like maybe I'm not. It's incredibly.
And from a marketing standpoint, you know, with the two biggest box offices being like, you know, the US and then China, like it was smart to kind of like, you know, go more in that route. Like
sure.
The whole research thing is of a Chinese. I could see it being, it was smart.
And like
my friend called it the Shark and the Furious, and I was like,
yeah, it was very actually. That, yeah. Very that, makes very sense. That.
And you only got Jason Statham versus the shark for like 10 minutes, but you know,
and
what?
Then that there was a Kraken from nowhere, and you right. were like, yeah. All right. Great, yeah,
like whatever.
Weird. That's cool. Bring in a Kraken anytime, I'll be like, all right,
yeah,
we're going in the right direction.
Anytime we bring in a big monster like that, I'm pretty okay with it. There was a movie called Underwater that a lot of people shit on because they were just like, ooh, oh my god, Kristen Stewart's so in it and TJ good. Miller, this movie's gonna suck. And then you watch it and it's like, oh, this is a claustrophobic as fuck movie on the entire bottom of the ocean, and then Cthulhu shows up and it's like, oh, okay, I'm fucking in. Like,
I'd turn out for Cthulhu for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think you can handle our the Sinister Six opinion questions?
Sure. Why not? Go
all
for
right,
it.
All right.
And by the way, you can answer these however you want. Long, okay. Short, doesn't matter.
Freddy or Jason?
Which Freddy or Jason?
Proper. Freddy Krueger or Jason Voorhees?
I meant like which they have multiple irritations.
Right.
Jason in space? Oh god, yes, honey. Oh, period. Bitch, absolutely. But I would say just Michael, because he's just like heavy breathing, you know what I mean? And he like he probably has mommy issues, but it's not as relevant as Jason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Jason's mommy issues are front and center. We
it
do have to. Very,
it got that one bitch killed because she said Jason was the killer, but it was actually Mrs. Voorhees. Yep. So I'm sorry, Casey Becker.
Right.
That was Drew Barrymore.
Yeah,
she died.
And they were seeing the future. It was a working class pro-union stance.
What's the difference between thriller and horror?
Thriller is psychological. Horror can be psychological as well, but it needs that visceral crunch. I feel like thriller is more of like, you don't know what's happening next, but it's also like, it's more psychological than an actual like horror movie.
Like
for instance, The Panic Room is a thriller to me. Right, like sure. You know what I mean. Yeah. Like you're being.
Well, that's interesting. We just had a Is It Horror episode, and my mine was Panic Room because I think it was horror, but that's fair.
I do think I'm not fazed by a lot of shit. Like literally, I could watch something and not be terrified. It's very hard to scare me. I think the real horrific things are grounded in reality, and Panic Room is an example of that. So I could see that argument.
Cool, I think Jared Leto's cornrows were pretty horrific. I think
he doesn't need another job ever. Let's just not hire him.
Yeah, exactly.
We're good. Long hair too. I can butch it up and be a guy.
Right.
Like fuck it. Fuck that. He doesn't need another check.
Yeah, we're good. We're good on Jared Leto.
We're good.
Stay on that three.
He got his Oscar playing a trans woman. We're good.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
need that. Right.
Go back
You're
to your
so
island.
Brave. Yeah. So brave.
So brave.
Wow.
Go back to your island with your shitty 30 Seconds to Mars cult. Like, all right.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's a music cult. I love that you put visceral crunch as horror. That's a fucking great term.
Yes.
Fantastic wordplay.
What horror movie influenced your taste the most?
I'd have to say the first Carrie, because the thing that was most scary to me was her realizing her period for the first time and her being bullied for that real moment and just not understanding what's going on in her body. And I felt like being queer and going through that myself. I mean, obviously I didn't have a period, you know, but like, it's just like understanding that you're changing and that's like the grounded in reality horror moment. I think really solidified, you know, like Carrie is horrific for me. It wasn't the fact she got blood spilt on, she was burning the house on fire. It was like bullying. It was like your body changing and not being ready for it or not being aware. I think was really kind of, it really had a profound effect on me. So probably the first horror movie I ever watched, Carrie. My mom showed it to me.
Yeah, I think it's such a great movie, and it's really effective
at
like making you feel the abuse that she's taking.
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
I grew up in a very religious household, so like it was a lot of like things back and forth, and you know, if you relate her story to being like a queer, it's very easy. I mean, sure.
Great answer.
She just wants to be accepted and be a person, and she's not allowed to do that. Right. So then she has to light your ass on fire, which is fierce.
Which, by the way, that finale is one of the best in horror history.
And then they crown everyone on Dracula pouring blood on them. So I don't know, maybe it was like a moment.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yep.
As a real quick side note, did you ever see The Rage, Carrie 2?
I don't know if I have. I've seen multiple iterations of Carrie, including the TV movie one, but like I don't know if I've seen. Is the sequel star the same actress?
No, it doesn't. It's actually so you should watch it just because it's a very interesting. It's interesting for the fact that it was like basically a direct-to-video sequel.
Okay.
And it's very similar story-wise. Like, girl gets bullied for something changing in her body from shitty people at school, and
Ginger
she's like,
yeah.
And then it's very similar. She has a connection to the original Carrie, and she goes straight up like fucking you know, psychokinesis on everybody. So
fuck yeah. Okay, cool. I'll check it out.
It's the best X-Men origin story ever.
Yes, really is. You know what I mean? Bury that.
Yeah.
Bury that.
All right. I thought somebody famous was in that movie, like Rebecca De Mornay or something. Carrie, too.
The Raid. All
right, moving on. So, yeah. If you could erase one movie from existence, what would it be? And it doesn't have to be horror.
Avatar.
Good call.
I love it.
I love it.
You can just.
I didn't need bedazzled Pocahontas. I didn't need it. I didn't need it. And I needed a sequel, which was basically Titanic. So, motherfucking no. And it made $1 billion. Both of them. Please, no. God damn it. Like, agreed. Support other shit. Like, oh my God.
Thank you.
Avatar in general, because the movie Avatar about, you know, the last Avatar, that was horrible too. So, burn them all. Like, fuck it.
Bedazzled Pocahontas is my favorite description for that.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, you are not.
No.
Also, you have. I'm sorry. Is it weird to me that the only people, especially in the sequel, the white people playing the aliens all have dreads and locks when everyone else doesn't, but it's only the white, and there's a little white boy running around with
it's incredible. the whole concept of it is kind of like incredibly tone deaf. I mean, it's too much like
Kate Winslet is over there acting like
right, like
no,
right, like why didn't you A, hire people of color to fill those roles, and B, like maybe like that whole concept, that whole like Dances with Wolves, like we're at the zoo looking at these like animalistic people and things like that, is a piss poor idea, and maybe something we need to leave behind.
Three more coming.
Yeah, so exactly. Exactly.
Also, I think it's funny that there is a Hollywood visual representation of what docking looks like when they actually try to procreate as the Avatar creatures. If anybody ever asked, you'd be like, that's what it looks like right there.
Docking is fun. I will say it's a good time.
Are ghosts real?
Ooh. Coming from being, you know, I went to college in probably one of the most haunted cities in America. I will say yes. I've never seen one, but there's energy in a space that you can't deny. Especially this last time I headlined Savannah Pride and was staying down on the waterfront. And that's where like a lot of the stuff was happening during, you know, tragic times. And I will say the hotel room was not live, laugh, love. I had a friend with me and the friend was not happy, but I just was like, you know what? Happy Pride. Slay, you know, like whatever. So yeah, I would say ghosts are real.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I like
yeah.
that answer. It's a good answer.
Yeah, and I will say like my drag mother passed away from a fentanyl overdose like last year. And I have her spirit with me all the time. Like literally, I'll be out. There never fails. I'm like out in drag. I will see somebody decked out in her favorite color, which is the chartreuse color, and I always see her around. So I definitely ghosts are real.
Sure.
Nice.
Yeah. That's awesome. And last one, Midsommar or Hereditary?
Midsommar. Wait, no, wait, shit. Sorry. I was thinking of the dancing one. What's the dancing one that's so sickening?
Suspiria?
Oh, Suspiria. Suspiria, I didn't mention that earlier. Suspiria is up there for me in best horror movies. Fuck. Especially the remake was also slaps. So wait, you said Midsommar or Hysteria or what? What was it?
Or Hereditary. Hereditary.
And what? Like, which one?
Do you prefer?
Yeah.
Aesthetically, I like Midsommar, but it just pisses me off because she killed a hot piece of ass just because they didn't cooperate in a relationship. And they deleted this one scene. They deleted this one scene that justifies her murdering him in my book, and it's just not in the movie. But they deleted it, and they had this conversation. It's like, oh yeah, kill the motherfucker. But they don't have that conversation. But Midsommar, I would say, aesthetically, is the team.
Yeah. I think that conversation is actually in the director's cut that we have, Graham.
it is a little like he wanted to break up with her, and then she has a tragedy. And so he decides to stick with her because he doesn't want to be a dick. and that makes him the bad guy. So I don't really know if that's
justify
like a I don't know if that's even like a fire. I don't even know if
it's the magic juice that the woman gave me with a headpiece on. So I don't fucking know. And then
like it's just I just don't know if that's healthy. You know what I mean? Like a healthy message. You know what I mean? Like I think like I think it's A-okay to want to break up with somebody, right? Like
and
I mean like
and I find it more terrifying because it exists in reality of that being something that could happen. I mean, right. Granted, like, bitch, I'm not gonna go. So random. No, I wouldn't do. There's certain points where red flags exist, and you have to go. Right. And I just feel those bitches just didn't, you know,
pay attention.
Yeah,
like I always say, if they were gonna throw, if I knew parties were gonna have throwing old people off of cliffs, though, I'd go to a lot more of them. You know what I mean? It's a.
Are you talking about senators?
Yeah, I they're just, exactly. just boomers in general. Senators,
just shitty old white
just
people.
Don't do it to my Nana, all right? She did nothing wrong. She just makes cookies. Everyone else can go, I guess.
Your Nana's probably fantastic. You know what I do also like about Midsommar is that there was one trope that did kind of get flipped around, where in horror movies, a lot of time, the black guy is the one that dies first, that type of thing. Yeah. And in this one, the black couple was easily the smartest one, because as soon as they went to the throw the old people off the cliff party, they were like, what the fuck are we doing here? They were like, we should be leaving now because this shit is weird. And that actually started as soon as they walked past the cage with the bear in it. They were like, there's a fucking bear right there in a cage. We should go the other direction. And they were like, no, we're going to go back to the rest of this Norwegian mushroom tour that we're on.
I will bring up one of my favorite horror movies is Anaconda, and the POC do escape. Yep. All the white people die.
Yeah.
Yep. LL Cool J. Is it LL Cool J?
No,
is
it's LL Cool J. Ice Cube.
And J-Lo escape. Yeah.
Very true.
All right. Yep. Well, that was an excellent, excellent round of Sinister Six. Thank you so much.
Which is your favorite Sinister Six? Which is your favorite character from the Sinister Six? Which out of all of them?
Ooh, actually, that's a good question.
Yeah. Graham, you want to start?
No.
I can say what mine is. My favorite's Vulture.
I wouldn't say Kraven, but I would say Kraven now because they made him hot as hell in that new game. And
listen, okay.
I'm not excited about the movie, but in the game, it made me think things I didn't think before. You know what I mean? Like
this is an interesting conversation piece, because I've had this conversation with I have queer roommates, and I have grown up around and with many, many queer friends. And this is something that has come up to where I'm straight, but just barely. Mm. And that's because there are certain people and certain looks that come around where I'm like, because I've been like I'm straight, but Jason Momoa could fuck me in front of my family. You know what I mean? That. Like,
yeah.
So the Kraven is kind of also one of those things where it's kind of like, all right.
I just know he Kraven smells good. You know what I mean? He's just musky.
Like naturally.
Right? Mashly musky. And I'm just like, ooh, sign me up. Hello.
Yeah. Yes.
I'd probably go Doc Ock, just because the Snap game I'm playing right now, I'm using him a lot.
It's like, okay.
Fun. Also, the Spider-Man 2 was pretty great. Like, Alfred Molina was...
And you're into hentai.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Not into hentai. Yeah.
Really. You're right.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
No.
Yeah.
Vulture, I think, is the best one just for me. No, Michael Keaton playing Vulture was incredible.
I love the redesign they did for him. He was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a character, Vulture, I think, is my favorite. Ryan?
Sandman. You know what I mean? Because Sandman, I've seen Sandman point his finger and it turned into a gun. Sandman's like one of those cool, you know, it's just like some shit you like. You know what I mean?
Does Venom count?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Venom's he's a booty like groceries.
Yeah. Venom would probably actually be my favorite. I love both the movies. So I don't care. Nobody likes the second one.
I own the movies. I'm fine with it.
Well, excellent, excellent. So, recommendation time. Graham, what do you got today?
Oh, I got some good ones. I got two from the UK. Yeah. First one is the movie Walking Against the Rain. It was written and directed by Scott Leas, and it stars Sophia Eleni and Rhys Douglas. It's about two strangers in like a barren wasteland where everybody's sort of missing, and there's like weird aliens and weird people like just walking around like cultish people, but like everybody's dying, and they find each other through walkie-talkies and they decide to meet up, and it's basically the whole movie is them coming together while talking on walkie-talkies. Mm-hmm. And it's fucking great. Sophia Eleni has such a playful and comforting way to her in this horrific barren wasteland that was really amazing. And the ending is fucking spectacular. I won't say anything else about that. Music wise, I thought I didn't know what this band's name was at first. I found out it's Clit Drip. CLTDRP. Yeah. And I thought it was maybe Cult Drop or Cult Drip, but it's Clit Drip. UK based punk, electronic, and heavy pop is what they call themselves. And it's just fucking fantastic. I love everything that's female fronted. Wonderful. They got a new album called Nothing Clever, Just Feelings. And it's fucking dope. And their first album was really great too. And then, oddly enough, on Instagram, right here from Brooklyn, White People TV by Jim Search is on there right now.
Yeah.
It just started. It's a fucking great Instagram account where Jim does this sort of rap about white people in soap operas, like over it playing. It's fucking fantastic. So go check out White People TV on Insta. And that's it.
Sweet. I got some this week for sure. Physical media wise, because I just got it in the mail and it did not get a fair shake in the theaters, so you should totally buy it on physical if you can. That is Cobweb. Cobweb fucking ruled.
I really loved Cobweb. People hated it.
Yeah, people shit on
it. People hate all sorts of stupid shit. So
yeah, you know what I mean. No, it's a really good movie. The acting is really well done. The third act is absolutely batshit insane. In a very good way. Yeah, so it's a fantastic movie, and it's one of those physical media ones that came out and it's cheap like right from the get, so it's like $14 or $15 or something like that. So fucking get it, go get it as soon as you can. It's awesome. For streaming stuff, I've been doing a 61 days of Halloween thing on Facebook, so I've been recommending a lot of stuff, but I am gonna throw back one to one of our previous guests, Pat Mills, because they did the movie The Retreat, which is still not like out on physical media or anything like that. It's still one that you can only get digitally. And you absolutely fucking should, because the more support that movie gets, the closer they'll get to being able to release it for physical stuff. But The Retreat is one of the coolest, like, it's a movie that
has slashers.
Yeah, it's a slasher, but it's a reverse role slasher, which I think is so cool, because a lot of times when you have those movies, you have like all the peril that happens to the main characters happens in the beginning, like first act of the movie, and then the roles reverse. And once those roles reverse, the movie gets turned up to 1,000, and it's such a cathartic slasher, like, which is not something that slashers are generally. And it takes, like, you know, not in this way. So it's just, it's a very well done movie. Continues to be one of my favorite slashers. And you can, I think, honestly, if you're getting it digital, it's like $2. Like $2 to $5, depending on where you get. Dude, fucking rules. And then if you want to stream something, I'm going to say this because I was talking shit about this movie and then I rewatched it under different circumstances and the guys were right. All right. no one will save you.
I told you to go back and watch it again right away.
So here's the thing. I watched it the first time and I was not into it at all. And I'll tell you exactly why. It's because of the situation that I watched it in. For anybody that doesn't know, it's a movie that doesn't have any dialogue. Like, it's an alien invasion story, I guess is the best way to put it. But it has no dialogue. It's all tension, all peril, all those things. And that part, it's done well. But then I watched it with headphones and turned all the lights off in my room like I was in a theater. And that movie went from something I didn't like to being one of my favorite movies of the entire year. It's like the sound design on it is incredible. The acting in it is phenomenal for what it is, of course. But once you add in that immersion, it becomes a completely different movie. So yeah, I'm going to recommend that. And if you watch it with headphones, because it fucking rules. Now, as soon as you do that. So.
I want to add real quick to Cobweb, the same dude that did Cobweb directed it, did the Marianne TV show on Netflix.
Also fantastic.
Which is also fantastic.
Yeah. Those are my recommendations. Ryan, what do you got?
I've known Marianne was awesome for like 3 years. How long have you known how awesome it was, Graham?
Have you seen the
it's fine. Just don't take my suggestions. That's cool.
I do take your suggestions.
He's being a hipster about it.
Takes me a little while.
Yeah, just he's so busy watching
his marble racing over his face shit. Like a Venom symbiote
now. Yo, marble racing is
because we already did Kill List, which is fantastic. It was such a good call. It's so funny that I was gonna such a random movie to
so good.
Yeah, it's so good.
It and really is great.
Just like kind of like it's like Angel Heart light, you know what I mean? Like it's like, you know,
fucking Angel Heart rules.
Yeah, Angel Heart does rule. I'm the Changeling television show it's on Apple, which is of course like the most ridiculous place to put anything, because it's just like it has tons of good stuff, but it just falls into a hole on Apple Plus, or what I think it's called. I wrote a Hard Times article about Apple Plus. I said it's now going to be referred to the one that Ted Lasso's on, and and people are like, it's actually technically Apple Plus, not Apple. Like that was the thing. So for those fun, well, actually, guys, it's Apple Plus. They're already fucking happy. But no, the Changeling is awesome. It stars Lakeith Stanfield, who should be in everything ever. I actually mean that. Like, I think that there wouldn't be like he's like a deadpan dude who like just like fills the screen. Everything he's ever been in has been great. He's Atlanta, I think, is the best television show of all time. And his episode is like a horror episode, and it's fucking amazing. It stars him and Clark Bacco. She's on Letterkenny a lot, and it stars Hamuel T. Herring, who's a rapper for Future Islands, and the show is just absolutely fantastic. Like, you don't know where it's going, and it's if you liked Servant, you'll like it. It's they're different stories, but they have the same pacing,
energy
sure. vibe. The word vibe gets thrown around a lot, but
it works.
It works, but also like sometimes words are important. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to like overdo it. You know what I mean?
Not everything is a vibe. Like, yeah, not everything.
Yeah, I really felt that way with culture at one point. People were like, "Yeah, well, I'm part of corduroy pant culture." And you're like, "No." See, like, let's slow down. Just because
my divorced dad core. Oh,
exactly. At some point, you have to
jam band pants,
right? Like, off. You can all like something together without it being your culture. You know what I mean? Like, so, and I kind of feel that way about vibe too. Like, I don't want to like overuse vibe, but they do have the same. So, but it's a really great show. And like I said, Lakeith Stanfield, actually maybe my favorite actor. I don't know. He's fucking great. Bitch.
Hi. I love those recommendations. Yes. You're mine. I recommend, if you're wanting to follow someone cool that does art, that's like horror, himbo, like gay pinup, but it's like a guy like being a demon or being fucked by a demon. It's really hot shit. His name is AstraZero, AstraZero, and it's across like all social media platforms. The more spicy content is on Twitter. I will not refer to it as its new name because it is Twitter. I am so sorry. Get over yourself. But AstraZero is amazing. I also want to recommend a series. If you guys, it came out and everyone hated it. I didn't fucking understand why, because I thought it was great. Resident Evil on Netflix is a show. Mm-hmm. I thought it was fucking amazing. They rehashed a lot of like, they combine lore from the games to the movies and kind of make this new space. But I thought they blended it really well. I love how all the characters, there's like all the characters are pretty much POC in a cool way. It's just like, it's great. And the late Rance Riddick does play Wesker, and then what they do with Wesker, I won't spoil it, but they do a lot of cool shit with Wesker and I love it. And RIP Lance Riddick. I thought he was fucking amazing actor. RIP. Yeah. And there is like a fucking huge alligator in it, like a zombified huge alligator, which I think
there really,
you know,
is.
I love the fucking kooky part about Resident Evil. It's like you're zombies, and all of a sudden there's like a gargantuan sized spider, and you're like, slay, you know. I love that. Last but not least, we are entering Halloween.
Yes,
I did not like this. So my favorite band of all time is Bring Me the Horizon. Love them. Love their journey they've been on. But this band I discovered probably about a couple of years ago. I knew about them. I saw them at Warped Tour, but they came out with an album in 2018 called The Silver Scream. And then they have a sequel to it called The Silver Scream 2, Welcome to Horrorwood. Every song on all these albums are related to horror movies, games, icons, X, Y, and Z, Ice Nine Kills. I just saw them live. It was the closest thing I've ever seen to like a high quality drag show ever. And they're not drag queens. This is literally a band, and they're like killing people on stage. There's this part where they do it and they like flood the room with like red confetti, so it looks like blood is just pouring everywhere. They are fucking amazing. Love them. And if I had to compare a sound to the, you know, for those listening, it's like if you took the original melodic sounds of the original Panic at the Disco album, and like kind of like, you know, the horror stuff, but like, you know, when the choruses are just catchy and you just find yourself singing them like constantly after you hear the song once, it's like that. But if you added like a lot more metal on top of that, they're screaming on it, and I don't know, it's fucking great. And yeah, I love Welcome to Horrorwood and The Silver Screen by Ice Nine Kills. Can't recommend that enough.
Love it.
The song Hip to Be Scared,
it's so good. They do the scene, they cut his ass up with an axe on stage, and I'm like, yes,
the fucking
I,
part.
I mean I
swear the lead singer might be a little this is dick sucked at least, because I'm just like, this is bagotry on another level, you know what I mean?
During that song, the whole scene where he's like, where he's doing the Huey Lewis part, where he's at the fucking stereo and he's talking shit about like what the band used to be.
Yeah,
like,
that it's part so is, good.
It's just funny that they know very much what they are, and they don't take themselves too seriously, and they just have fun with it.
So good. And it's like live. It's like they have like, I've never seen a band put that much into a production before, and it was great. It was fucking great. And they were opening before Metallica. I didn't see them on. They were doing a solo tour on top of that. So they would do Metallica one night, and the next night they wait for Metallica to go. But like, I heard a lot of people discover them on this past tour with Metallica, which I think is really cool.
Good for them.
And they're about to tour with In This Moment. So I'm going to definitely go again because I love it In This Moment. So anyway, it's
gonna be be one hell of a theatrical show.
Yeah.
It's going to be drag. If y'all looking, if y'all like, where are the horror girlies in, like, you know, where are the women in rock and roll? Look up In This Moment, and you will not be sad about it. I promise.
I've been a Maria Brink fanboy for as long as I can remember. Like, I think I heard them. They were on one of like the little side stages on one of the Warped Tours. Nobody knew who the fuck they were, and then Maria Brink came out and busted out one of her screams, and everybody, like, you could see people coming from another stage. They were like, where the fuck is that coming from? And like,
yeah,
it just filled up, and they were like, okay, we're here for this. She's now sick. Like,
I think her as a judge on Dragula would be chef's kiss. Will we ever get it? I don't know, but
that would be really incredible. Cool. Actually,
if I was in charge of casting,
real quick before we wrap this up, Ryan, I have to ask a question for you, bitch, because we were talking about Resident Evil. I have to kind of validate myself on this one. Welcome to Raccoon City was actually really fucking good. Like,
are you talking about the movie?
Yeah, like the movie.
I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was bad. I liked how they set it up for a sequel that probably will never be made. I think casting on a couple key people was fucked.
Casting was not my favorite.
But a couple key, and that's the weird thing. It's like the Resident Evil show on Netflix, they completely like went out of the box with casting on that. But I always thought, I was watching it and I'd be like, oh, that's weird. And then I'd watch it play. I'm like, this makes sense. I buy them as X, Y, and Z. For some reason about that movie, a couple of the casting choices, it just was like, it's not hitting for me. Casting, but I did like the movie. I did like the pacing. I thought it was fine. It just sucks because, like, people keep trying to, like, go back to Resident Evil and trying to make it sickening, and they just kind of, like, they always just miss it, and it sucks.
Yeah. It was one of the Resident Evil movies that, to me, felt more like the video game, which made
me happy.
That's where I was like, okay, well, like, they tried to make the video game.
My favorite movie of all time is The Fifth Element. So, Mila Jovovich in the original series, just like, my queen is here and I'm living. You know what I mean? Like, X-Men, like, you know, whatever. She's Die Hard, but it's in Resident Evil. So, yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like,
she's great. And I don't know what she's doing now. I unfortunately tried to
watch. Her daughter's killing it. Her daughter's getting booked and blessed. So, she's cool. Yeah, she's killing it.
I rewatched the Jonah Arc movie she did, and I remembered it way better than it actually ended up being. So I forget what it's called.
What is she doing?
Yeah, that's a good question.
She was actually in a very very underseen horror movie called A Perfect Getaway. That was fucking fantastic, and that was actually one of Chris Hemsworth's first movies, and he plays a bad guy that's not wearing a shirt for the whole movie. So.
Sounds like that's a good movie. Well, thank you so much. But you're out here like living the dream. Like, you're fucking super cool. Like, you're doing cool shit. You're into horror and video games, and like you're finding a way to make that work for you, and that's really impressive.
Just
a
nerdy boy.
But that's.
I think drag queens are kind of like the truest artists, almost. Like, I have so much respect for drag. And like, because I'm an artist, but like the stuff, like, you are the canvas, and that is so inspiring and powerful to me, and so fucking cool. So no, thank you, honestly. Like, it's, you've done a lot for me in my head and just everything, and it's really inspiring. So
I'm glad. Thanks, I appreciate that. And drag is fun.
Yeah,
that's so rad.
Should be.
People want to say it's all this shit right now. I'm like, drag is just fun. We're trying to take you out of your life for 5 minutes while we're on stage. Right, we're not trying to do anything else. There's no malice.
I love that so much.
And literally, you get to do Halloween. Like, Halloween is like us year round. So people are like, are you excited for Halloween? I'm like, ugh, it's just another day for me, right? So like, when people are like, oh, well, I don't understand drag or like weird about drag, I'm like, it's literally, I get to be Halloween year round. So like, regardless of how you present or what you want to do, that's drag, you know?
Totally. Yeah. Well, thank you for everybody tuning in today. We've had a great couple of weeks. United States, you're still in the lead. UK, Canada, New Zealand, Germany, Australia, Sweden, Turks and Caicos, India, Mexico, Poland, Netherlands, France, Puerto Rico, and Czech Republic, and Ireland and Switzerland coming in at the end. Like, that's really, really impressive. And so please go, all of you from all over, follow Bitch Puddin. And
it's BIQTCHPUDDIN. There's a Q in there. It's BIQTCHPUDDIN.
Not to be confused with Robot Chicken Character,
which is where I got my name from. And I actually used to work for Cartoon Network.
Oh, no,
so I helped attract the Powerpuff Girls as part of the marketing team.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Oh,
actually, they're based in Atlanta. So now that.
And I just got hired from them to work Comic Con. And I was Dexter like this past year. So, full circle moment. I left the company to chase drag and they hired me back. So that's kind of.
That's super
cool.
Can I come hang out with you? Like,
why not?
You're super cool.
We're going to try to come to the Brooklyn show.
It's like a horror. Yeah. Let me know if you want to come. I'll put you on the guest list. Yeah, let me know.
I'll bring my camera and do photos. I do concert photos and whatnot. So yeah, I'll come and take a whole bunch.
I'm trying. Don't quote me. I'm trying. I want to do Camilla from Castlevania. So I'm trying to do that. I really want to do her. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to do it in time. I'm trying to get stuff together for it, but
that could be fun.
That's awesome. What I would like to do. So yeah, I'll see y'all soon.
Fuck yeah.
Awesome.
Go check out our Patreon at Patreon AGHP666.
We got the Army of the Goddamned over there. We got Drew Muldowney, Stephanie Gurley, Katie Wyke, and Chris Fortune, Alan Graham, Bacon Bits the Cat, Angela, Jasmine Pettit, Jason Daniels, Jake Jolly, Ron Knobloch, Kristen Pearl, Manny Velasquez, Coleman Rosenberg.
And also, do not forget that you can catch us over on the Morbidly Beautiful Horror Network as well. Morbidlybeautiful.com, which fits very well with our guest today. And yeah, you can check us out there with that whole team of podcasts over there and team of fucking awesome horror people. Our the head of the whole network is out doing Fantastic Fest right now in Austin. Very jealous. Yes. Very fucking jealous. But yeah, morbidlybeautiful.com. You can check us out there as well.
Excellent. Hey, and if you're struggling, please reach out to us on socials. We all need to do this together. Stick around to see the next really great horror thing. And please take care of yourself and love yourself, whoever you are. And then the next time we see you, please go start some fires and break some glass. Thank you all so much.